Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then, in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
My father wanted to come to the U.S. because he had a dream of becoming a medical doctor. And so my immediate family, consisting of my dad, my mom, my older brother, and myself, came to this country because Massachusetts has the best schools and hospitals for medicine. I was 7 years old at the time, and we lived in a two-bedroom apartment. Now, when you are an immigrant family coming to a foreign country, it can be pretty scary, especially when you don't know anyone, where you are not familiar with how things work in this new culture, and where you don't have anyone to show you how to get around. And so we pretty much had to figure out everything ourselves. For example, we didn't know that stores and restaurants were all closed on Thanksgiving, well, except for the Chinese restaurants. We had never seen snow before, and I remember when it did snow, my mom would make us layer up with four layers up top, three layers on the legs, and two layers on the feet, plus a hat and gloves to make sure that we were warm. In fact, in the wintertime, believe me, I still dress like this. My parents worked a lot because they wanted to succeed in America and to provide a good life for my brother and myself in this country. They taught us how to have a good work ethic and about having responsibility by teaching us how to do chores like cooking and cleaning while they were working and as a way for us to contribute to the family. They put us in the best schools so that we could have a great education and a future when we got older. We didn't have much money, but whatever my brother and I needed, my parents provided. The clothes, the food, the textbooks, the toys, and a warm home and a roof over our heads. We were blessed. And when you're a kid, you don't realize that all these things are being provided for you. You don't realize the sacrifices that are being made behind the scenes in order to have the life and the opportunities that I did have. You think that it is just normal to have all these things, and when everything is provided for you, there is an entitlement that starts to set in. And this got worse when I became a teenager. Instead of being grateful that I had clothes, I now wanted the name brand clothes. Instead of being grateful that I had food on the table, I started complaining that my friend's family gets to go out three times a week to a restaurant. Instead of being grateful for the toys and opportunities that I had, I wanted the toys and the opportunities that my friends had. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting name brand clothes or going out to eat at a restaurant. But it was getting to a point where I was only thinking about what I wanted and what was best for me. And because I was so focused on what I didn't have, I couldn't actually enjoy all that I did have. And I remember one day I was driving back home with my dad, and he mentioned that despite all that he and my mom had done to provide for me, that I wasn't a grateful person. I could sense the sadness in his voice because he had done all that he could to provide for me. And my complaining just revealed that I thought that all that he was doing wasn't enough. And yes, back then in my teenage mind, I didn't get it as to the love that I received from them or how fortunate I was to have the things and the opportunities that I had because of my parents. I had forgotten of all the sacrifices that they had made behind the scenes in order to help me to be the man that I am today. And looking back at it all as an adult, I can understand how really unappreciative and ungrateful I really was. I mean, Edwin, you were blessed. How can you not recognize or be grateful for all that was done for you? Yeah, we can forget, don't we? And even today, if I'm not careful, I can still easily fall into feeling ungrateful, even though I have everything that I need. You know, we're in a two-part sermon series called Give Thanks, because we live in a world of entitlement where we expect things to be done for us, and a world of discontentment where we are never satisfied with what we have. It is no wonder why so many of us are joyless, ungrateful, and unkind. But celebrating thankfulness is not to be done just one day a year on Thanksgiving Day. Rather, God wants to create in us a thankful heart all throughout our life, even in circumstances that may not be so great. Our culture encourages entitlement, where we have the expectation that we have the right to get what we want, when we want, and how we want. And when we don't get what we want, we end up getting angry, bitter, and resentful. And there are many things that lead us to being ungrateful, but it really can all boil down to two main things. The first is we fail to recognize that God is our sustainer and our provider. If God is our sustainer, the one who created us, the one who gives us life and who continuously provides for us, if he is the source, then there is a natural gratitude that comes as a result as we acknowledge who he is and what he is doing. But when we fail to remember this, when we fail to recognize that God is our sustainer and provider and the one that determines if we even have life, then we are essentially telling God, God, I don't need your provision. I'm able to sustain myself on my own. I can get what I want on my own. God, I don't need you. It's the same attitude that I had towards my parents, who had been doing so many things for me and my brother in order to give us a better life. But yet I was ungrateful and thought that all the things that I had was because of my doing. I couldn't even acknowledge that my parents were the ones who were doing so much to provide for me. And when we fall into this attitude of ingratitude, we are actually sinning against God, because we have now crossed into living in pride and self-reliance, where we think that we are the God of our lives who doesn't need anyone else's help and can provide for and sustain ourselves. And when people start to live like this, it leads to entitlement and resentment, which are two qualities that make gratitude and joy absolutely impossible. Because when we are entitled, we expect things instead of being grateful for such things. And because we're now playing the God of our lives, this entitlement that we feel leads to resentment, because we can start to become envious of those things that we do not have, that we think we should have and we deserve to have. We then fall into comparison with others and even demonize those who have what we don't have, as we feel like we are the victim of unjust circumstances. And this happens because, number two, we are looking to other things or people to tell us that we are okay, rather than looking to God to tell us that we are okay. We are ungrateful because instead of being content with who God is, what he has provided, and trusting in his love to continue to provide at the proper time, we are instead looking at other things that he hasn't provided to be the things that will give us our significance, satisfaction, and identity. We look at other things apart from God to tell us that we are loved and to even save us. Because if God is not the standard that satisfies and tells us that we are okay, which then allows us to be grateful for what he has provided, then we will always be looking for the next thing to tell us that we are worthy and that we're okay. But if God is the standard that tells us that we are already loved by him, and we are valuable in him, and that we can trust him to provide for all of our needs in his time, then we don't need to be looking at other things or people for our identity and our value. If God is the standard, then instead of using the stuff that we have to give us worth or think that we need more, we can just enjoy what God has already provided for us. And since our cultural norm is one of ingratitude, God wants those who follow him to be distinct from the culture, because if the outside world could see that followers of God were content, grateful, and satisfied in him and what he has and will provide, then that would be a testament to a culture that is all about self-reliance, discontentment, materialism, never being satisfied and always wanting more. That is why we read in the Old Testament of the Bible that when God chose a man named Moses to free 3 million Israelites from slavery in Egypt, God's purpose was to form these freed slaves into one nation under him. God promised them a land where they could reside, but lacking faith, many of these Israelites forgot how God had delivered them from enslavement in Egypt, complained, and didn't believe God's promise, nor did they believe that God would continue to sustain and provide for them. As a result, the Israelites had to wander through the wilderness of the desert for 40 years until the generation that lacked faith in God had died off. The book of Deuteronomy records the great speech that Moses gives to this new generation of Israelites before his death and before they're about to enter into the promised land. And in the speech, Moses calls the nation of Israel to remember who God is and all that he has done for them to deliver and to provide for them. Being the people of God, Moses commands them to remember what they have and all they have been blessed with. Moses continues to warn the Israelites to not forget God when their needs were satisfied, but to remember the source of where it all came from, which had given them the opportunities and the future that they could now enjoy. Moses said, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." God, speaking through Moses, is saying, "I'm going to give you clear directions of where you need to go. So follow and be obedient to everything that I tell you to do. You may be tempted to veer off from it, but trust me and do what I tell you to do, because if you do, you will not only live a life of abundance, but will also have all that I promised. God is telling the Israelites to remember all that he did for them in those 40 years when they were wandering in the desert. It was in this wandering that Israel was humbled enough to depend completely on God. See, being in the hot and arid desert, the Israelites had nothing else to depend on, nothing else to guide them or even protect them, but only God. And it was during this wilderness time that God was testing Israel to know what was in their heart and if they would trust him, even when things got tough, they would be okay. Would God be their standard? Or would they look to other things for their love, their identity, their significance? See, God knew their hearts. But the Israelites didn't know their own hearts and their tendency to abandon God even though he was doing everything for them. Moses continues, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Moses is saying, Israelites, don't you remember that when you were hungry in the desert, that God without fail would provide manna on the ground by the time that you woke up the next day? You didn't know how it would come, but it always came, and enough of it came in order to fill you. God provided enough manna, meaning food, needed for each day. He did not provide more than was needed for that day, just the right amount. He did this because he was trying to help the Israelites to have total dependence on him. God wanted the people to know that he loved them and that they could trust him to provide for them for their daily needs. But it wasn't just about getting manna to fill their stomachs. God wanted to teach the Israelites that humans live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, meaning that only God's word satisfies and ultimately fills our deepest appetites. Many people don't understand why reading and obeying the word of God is so important to our lives. When we're physically hungry, what do we do to satisfy our hunger? We eat food, and then we are not hungry anymore. However, God's word works the opposite way. The more we eat of it, study it, and obey it, the hungrier we get for more of it. That is why when a person consistently gets into God's word, they hunger for more of God in their life. They start to seek more of what he has to say as their appetite for him grows. That is why people who don't read God's word become spiritually malnourished and don't have a hunger for God. In fact, they end up actually looking to other material things in order to satisfy their spiritual hunger, but yet they always come up empty. God's word becomes the anchor that grounds us, whereby he is the standard that we look to and trust in to ultimately satisfy us. Moses continues, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. God had such a great love for Israel that he miraculously provided Israel with food and water in the desert. He also preserved their clothes and gave health to their feet as they kept walking. Moses is saying, don't you remember? I mean, many of us easily take God's protection and providence for granted. How many of us take time to thank God when our car doesn't break down? Or when we have a selection of clothes to choose from? Or electricity when we turn on the lights or heat? Or the fact that our toilet flushes? The Israelites failed to notice that all throughout 40 years that they had food and water, that their clothes didn't rip and that their feet didn't swell. Even though God provided, they didn't give thanks to God for any of his blessings. So what about you? What are blessings that you have every day that you take for granted? what has been lasting a long time without breaking down? How may you acknowledge God's providence in your life? Many people think that if God really loved Israel, he wouldn't have them wander in the desert for 40 years, but their wandering is precisely a demonstration of his love for them. It was through those years in the desert that Israel was humbled enough to depend totally on God. Because in order for Israel to be God's nation and a demonstration of his love to the other nations, they needed to first be aligned to God's heart and priorities. They needed to be in a place where they could trust God fully. Because every time God disciplines us, he does it with the purpose of instruction and training and not as a demonstration of his wrath. Moses continues, "Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills." Moses is saying that if we follow God and do everything that he says, then God will take care of all the material things that we need. But what usually happens is we end up playing God, worrying about how to get all the material things that we want while God is shoved over to the corner, never to be thought of again. Jesus talked about this attitude when he said, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" See, many people forsake God in order to gain the world, but yet they do so at the expense of their soul. So you ignore God and work yourself to death in order to get the material things to provide for yourself, and then for what? Exchange all those material things for your soul that is lost? Doesn't make sense. Whereas Moses is saying, hey, remember the land that we were brought into, the food and the abundant resources we got to enjoy, where there was abundance and wealth even in the rocks. So when we obeyed the Lord, he gave us all that we needed. So how are you currently functioning? Obeying God and trusting him to provide for your needs? Or striving without God in anxiousness to provide for your own needs? Moses continues, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Did you know that this verse is traditionally used as the reason of why we give thanks and say grace before and after a meal? Because by saying grace, we inevitably are acknowledging that God has provided for us, that he is good to us. And it also reminds us that because of our abundance, that we have a duty to those around us who also are less fortunate. And Moses says this to warn the Israelites to not forget God whenever their needs and wants were satisfied. Moses continues, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Moses again warns the Israelites to not be prideful, thinking that they have all that they have because of themselves and their own efforts. We all can easily fall into that same kind of prideful thinking where The skies are blue and our life has everything going the way that we want it to be. We can easily think that our good fortune and abundance is because of our wisdom, our work, our experience, and our wheeling and dealing, as we forget about God and all that He has done to provide all of it. We think that we are successful because of us. I mean, who needs God when I got it all going on for me? I mean, this eventually leads to self-sufficiency and a deterioration in our fellowship with God. Moses continues, He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end, it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Moses warns of pride for the Israelites and for us as we start to forget all that God has done and that we don't acknowledge Him for. Which is why Moses tells the Israelites to remember how they were helpless slaves in Egypt and how God was the one that freed them. That God was the one who provided a directional cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night in order to lead the Israelites through the wilderness inhabited with dangerous reptiles and insects. How God gave them food and water. Moses says, don't ever think that where you are at is because of your doing, because that is all pride. In fact, we are where we are at and we have what we have because of God's grace. Because if we think that it is because of us that we have what we have, then our pride will tell us to use it all only on us as we continue to be self-centered. But if God provided it, then He expects us to use it to take care of our needs, but also to use it to help meet the needs of those around us. We all can easily take credit for our prosperity and become proud that all we have is because of all that we have done. And when we believe that we are the source of everything we have, we can easily push God out of our lives. So in order to avoid this trap, Moses is saying to take time to remember the one who has provided for us and given us all that we have as we manage it for Him. Moses says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. God is the one that gives us the power to produce wealth. God gives us the body, the brains, the abilities, the talent, the opportunities, and the gifts to do everything that we need to do in order to accomplish His purposes for our lives. Now, we can either use it for Him and for His benefit and for the building of His kingdom, or we can use it for me and for my benefit and for the building of my kingdom. That is why when God says, remember, He's saying to take time to look back and to see how His hand has guided, how His hand has provided. I mean, I was thinking about all this. Why was I born in a foreign country with the parents that I had? Why did I go to the schools that I did, have the education that I had, have the opportunities that I did? Out of all the countries to come to, we came to America. Why not England or Australia? Why Massachusetts and not California or Florida? Why did I have the friends that I had, the jobs that I had, the experiences that I had? Why did I have the family that I have? Perhaps it was God orchestrating events and opportunities so that I can be shaped into the person that I was meant to be and use all that I have in order to point others to Him. Remember, means to see God's hand in every detail of your life, the good and the bad events that happen to you, and how God used each one to shape you, to cause you to trust in Him, and to help you to advance His kingdom. And so in order to remember God and live our gratitude in our lives, I want to encourage you to do two things. The first is to remember and give thanks to God as you recognize all of His provision in our life. The psalmist says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." See, giving thanks is a spiritual discipline that we need to develop in our lives daily, because we're not naturally good at doing it. But taking time to pause and remember what God has done and then expressing it back to Him allows us to experience His love for us and to know that God has taken care of us before and He's surely going to do so again. Whenever we recognize what someone does, we are to say so to them. When we see the blessings in our life, we can say so to God. Because feeling thankful blesses us, but expressing our thankfulness verbally blesses anyone on the receiving end. And that is what praise is. It is thanking God and blessing God for who He is and all that He has done and will continue to do. But the opposite is also true, because if we don't practice verbally giving thanks to God, we can forget who our provider is as we look to other things to provide for us. Whenever we don't say so and give thanks, we're really communicating to God this: God, I don't need you. And that what you did didn't matter. That is why giving thanks helps us to be mindful of God and even those around us. Giving thanks also humbles us that none of what we have is possible without God and others. And it looks something like this: "Hey God, thank you for always being present with me. Thank you for dying for my sins, making me new. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me eternal life. Thank you for giving me wisdom when I don't know what to do. Thank you for loving me when I'm so unlovable many times. Thank you that you are my shepherd and that you have supplied everything that I have needed when I need it." Do this all throughout your day. Look for every opportunity to remember and express your thanks to God for everything that you have and in every circumstance that you're in. Now, does God need all thanks? No. But thanking Him allows us to praise Him and magnify God in our lives, as it gives us perspective of His presence and provision, which can help us to persevere through any fear or worry. When we praise and thank God, the pressures and demands of daily life start to feel lighter. Instead of having our minds distracted by the cares of this world, God in His goodness becomes the center of our focus as we gain a greater awareness of our dependence upon Him and become more appreciative of His care and provision. This reinforces our faith as we remember the ways that God has been good to us, because without this practice, we all know that we can so easily forget who God is and all that He has done to sustain us. Number two, remember and give thanks to people. Then just as you remember what God has done and express that gratitude to Him, go ahead and remember what the people around you have done for you and express your gratitude to them. It is nice to feel appreciative, but expressing our appreciation means more to the one that's hearing it. That blesses them and encourages them that they're making an impact in the lives of those around them. So if I appreciate someone for what they have done, I not only give them the gift of thanks, but I tell them why they matter to me and how what they did helped me. This is so important to do, and we don't do so enough. Many times we assume people just know that we are thankful for them, but expressing it allows them to know that we know. So remember what God and others have done and express your gratitude both to God and to those others. So God, I thank you for this church and this movement that you are building in Malden. Thank you that we all can be a part of what you are doing in the lives of others and that we can live for a purpose that is much greater than ourselves. And for those of you who are part of this movement, to Kelsey, thank you for your encouragement, your diligence, and your faithfulness, your love week in and week out and leading with me as we lead others towards following Jesus. Thank you to our steering team and our ministry leaders for your time, your service, your wisdom, your willingness to lead in the capacities that you do as we serve together on mission and reach the city of Malden and all the surrounding cities for Jesus. Thank you for your trust, your friendship, your laughter, and for utilizing your gifts to lead and care for others so well. Thank you to all of our Dream Team members. You are the backbone of Community City Church. It is because of you, and because you said yes to serving, yes to giving financially, yes to praying for the city of Malden, and yes to the work that we are doing and being in deeper community together, that people's lives are changing and the city of Malden is changing. Thank you for all that you do to love Jesus by loving the very people that you serve week in and week out. Thank you for leveraging your lives and your resources so that we can reach people for Jesus and make disciples. Thank you for being the ones who build a Christ-like culture at Community City Church as God shapes all of us to be that authentic and loving spiritual community that brings hope and love to all that are here. Thank you to the rest of the congregation for worshiping with us. Thank you for your prayers and for considering this church to be home for you. Thank you for engaging with us as we all learn how to follow Jesus and live and love like him every single day. And thank you to the people in the city of Malden for trusting us to walk with you as you learn to walk with Jesus. So, who can you remember to thank today? Whoever comes to mind, don't wait. Thank them out loud and thank them often. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us and that you are the reason that we can have hope. You're the reason that we can give thanks because of what you do in our lives. So God, forgive us when we go about our days and we ignore what you are doing in our lives and in this world. Forgive us when we don't appreciate what we have and just look for the next thing in order to satisfy us. God, forgive us for taking you and even others for granted. And so we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace, your forgiveness. Thank you for the people that you have put in our lives that help us and encourage us to walk in your ways every single day. And as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. We would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.